Okay, good morning, everyone. Sorry for the late start. We're going to call this meeting of the TRPA Operations and Governance Committee to order. The date is Wednesday, November 16th, 2022, and it's about a quarter to 10. First item on the agenda is the roll call to determine the quorum. Maria?
Ms. Zaldine?
Here.
Mrs. Sagaski?
I'm here.
Ms. Diss?
Here.
Ms. Gustafson? Ms. Hill?
Here.
Mr. Honigman?
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. It's awfully lonely here, I have to tell you. I'm sitting in the room here at the TRPA office, and all I see are members of staff. So anyway, I'm glad you were at least able to join us remotely. To observe the meeting, please go to trpa.gov under the calendar header. Click on Governing Board Hybrid Meeting for November 16th, 2022. There you will find a link to the public webinar hosted on Zoom. To address committee members directly with your comments, raise your hand in Zoom by clicking Raise Hand at the bottom of your screen at the appropriate agenda item. And with your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the committee. If you've used the dial-in numbers to join us by telephone, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and be unmuted. To remote committee members, if you wish to speak, you will, can also now raise your hand in Zoom. You will find the hand icon on the bottom of your screen. Remote committee members may not use the chat box to make any comments or have sidebar conversations. Please, everyone, remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on background noise. And we have most of our committee members on camera. Thank you. Members of public who have joined us in person, please raise your hand at the appropriate time for public comment, and you will be called on. You will be called to the front to speak. Committee members who are in person, please raise your hand if you wish to comment and speak clearly into the microphone in front of you. If you are viewing the webinar on a personal computer, please ensure that your microphone and speakers are turned on or turned off to prevent audio feedback into the room. Next meeting item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Any changes to the agenda, Chris?
There are no changes to the agenda, but there is an errata notice for the motion on the rental car on the excess coverage mitigation fee item.
Yes, thank you. I've got that. Okay, then we'll move to item number 2, which is approval of minutes. We have a set of minutes from October 26, 2022. You'll find these on page 7 of your packet. Does any member of the committee wish to make a change?
No change requested. I move to approve.
Okay, we have a motion. If there are no further comments by members of the committee, we have a motion to approve the minutes as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, seeing no votes in opposition, we'll deem the minutes approved as presented. That brings us to item number 3, which is a recommendation to approve the October financials. Information on this item can be found on page 71 of your packet. Chris?
For the record, Chris Kyler, Finance Director for the agency. I'll try to be brief given that we're running a little bit late so far. If I could have the next chart, thank you. One thing I wanted to point out is I keep talking about planning fees and how we're running 22%, 20% higher than the prior year's averages. It occurs to me I probably should also mention that when we put together the budget for this year, we were assuming a higher level of fees as well. So we're not necessarily going well above the budgeted amount. I think we are at about 36, 37%, and we're a third of the way through the year, so it's still good. But the differential to the budget is not as big as the differential to prior years.
So it's not a windfall?
Not necessarily. Yeah. We'll have to see. They're still extremely busy and getting more and more applications in on time. So. That was the main thing there. Compensation is a little below the 33%, but that's to be expected right now. We do have some openings. We filled most of them. The board took care of the biggest one last week, filling the executive director job. So that's that. If we could go to the next chart, please. And this chart, again, is the performance and the budget. The state revenue is strong. We've got all that money in, which is a big help for us. And contracts, as always, tend to lag behind. We do have a major debt service payment coming up in December, end of November, beginning of December. So that'll be the next major thing coming up. And then if I could have the next chart, please. On the cash flow, we actually had a really good month. And the reason for that is we did our first quarter grant billings. And some of our grants mostly in the Forest Service and the AIS grants, use a system that's called ASAP, which for the government, that seems strange, but it actually does work very well and allows us to draw down on those funds with a much shorter cycle time for getting paid than we normally have. So basically, we picked up $2 million worth of first quarter grants in the month that they were actually billed in. Unfortunately, most of our transportation grants come through the states, and they follow a more traditional payment process, so it'll be a month or two before we get all those in. That's it for my presentation. I did want to note, unfortunately, I did not see the entire meeting, but the Nevada Economic Panel met yesterday. This is the panel that puts together the revenue projections that form a portion of the revenue side of the governor's budget. And I think I mentioned last month that on the California side, they are assuming a recession, and that's putting a lot of pressure on the California General Fund. On the Nevada side, completely different tax structure. So right now, Nevada does not have as grim an outlook on the upcoming biennium budget as California does. California, of course, is heavily dependent on income tax on high-income people, whereas in Nevada, the tax structure is different. It's gaming, sales, and property taxes. And if you peel back the layer a little bit on the sales tax, you find a lot of it relates to the hospitality industry and is directly related to the hospitality industry. But as long as people keep visiting Vegas, they're optimistic that they will have a decent, not a growing, but a decent revenue for the upcoming biennium. So that may result in different budget conversations between the two states.
Chris, are we anticipating any supplemental requests from Nevada?
We have asked for several supplemental requests. There's one for to bring Nevada into the 2/3, 1/3 ratio against the compact. There's one to provide annual funding for Taos Transportation District. And then there's funding for the scanning project that we have underway.
Okay. All right.
And that's it for my presentation, unless somebody has a question.
Wonderful. Thank you. Any member of the committee have any questions regarding this item? All right. Seeing none, we'll now go to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen, or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by TRPA staff. Maria, are you monitoring public comment?
Yes, I am, Madam Chair, and there are no hands raised for this item.
Okay, thank you. Then we will go ahead and close public comment. And if there are no comments from the committee, I'll entertain a motion to recommend approval of the October financials to the governing board.
This is Barbara Sagaski, and I'll make the motion to recommend to the governing board to approve the October financials. And thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Barbara. All right. Mario, will you please call the roll?
Mrs. Sagaski.
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson. Ms. Diss.
Yes.
Mr. Honigman.
Yes.
Ms. Hill. I'll circle back to Ms. Hill. Ms. Alding.
Yes.
And Ms. Hill.
She must have lose a connection.
Looks like she may lost there. Okay. Madam Chair, that motion passes.
Okay, thank you. All right, that brings us to item number 4, which is a recommendation to approve the inflation adjustment to TRPA's rental car mitigation fee. Information on this item can be found on page 95 of your packet. Chris? Oh, who's handling this? Oh, Kira. Kira, good morning.
Hi, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Kira Smith, Senior Transportation Planner with TRPA, for the record. So today we are presenting on an inflation adjustment to the TRPA rental car mitigation fee. Can you go to the next slide? So the rental car mitigation program was first adopted by the TRPA governing board in 1993 to offset impacts by rental cars in the basin and to mitigate vehicle miles traveled. The current fee is $5.50 per day per car, adopted in 2009 by the TRPA board and the Tahoe Transportation District board. The fees are collected by TRPA and then passed through to the Tahoe Transportation District for support of transit services. And we are proposing to increase the fee by $0.25 to reflect a change in inflation from 2022. So using the consumer price index for the San Francisco region, inflation was 6.8%, which equates to a 37-cent increase. And per the existing rules of procedure, we round that to the nearest quarter dollar. And so we would increase the fee, the mitigation fee, to $5.75 per day per car. And that those additional funds would still be passed through to the Tahoe Transportation District for support of transit. And this was also already adopted or approved by the Tahoe Transportation District Board at their October, September board meeting. And so the final step is to have the board approve it. And that's it, unless there are questions.
Okay. I guess my only question is, obviously, when this mitigation fee was implemented back in 1993, you know, we were still having air quality issues far more pronounced than today. And there were no electric vehicles. And I'm just wondering, I understand it doesn't address my miles, you know, vehicle miles traveled. But, you know, if you want to incentivize people to rent electric vehicles, you know, I'm wondering if we should consider, not at this meeting, but in the future, taking that into consideration and maybe lessening the fee charged for electric vehicles or eliminating the fee just to encourage people to rent these vehicles when they travel to the basin. Just a thought.
Yeah, I'll also mention that we are planning on updating this code section slightly. To eliminate, I guess, the requirement to increase by a quarter dollar increment, and so that it would just be based on the consumer price index or inflation, and we could adjust the fee annually based on the annual inflation rate. And then we would also, that's something we could also look at when we're looking at adjusting this section.
Okay. Yeah.
Madam Chair, this is Barbara Sagaski.
Yes, Barbara.
I have a couple questions. My first one would be, why are we using San Francisco's consumer price index? Just asking. I don't know the answer to that. And then with the electricity costs going up, are we sure that we want to do anything different for the electric cars? I'm just asking those questions.
I can answer, well, I don't know if I have an answer to your first question. I don't actually know why we use the San Francisco region CPI yet, but something we are planning on changing also.
Yeah, just oddly enough, this is the only mitigation fee that in our rules of procedures actually specifies an index. So at some point we had modified the rules of procedure. When we do the broader change to mitigation fees early next year, we would probably propose to either remove the specific index or normalize the index so that all the mitigation fees use the same index.
So Chris, that leads me to another question is what would be the Nevada, if there's a, you know, one of the counties in Nevada that would have a consumer price index, what would that be?
The metropolitan, what we're using is the San Francisco metropolitan area. So I think the only location in Nevada that has a separately calculated CPI is Las Vegas area.
Right.
But this is one of the reasons why I wanted to move everything to the Western States index, because that actually includes Tahoe and both sides of the border.
But we don't know what the price index rate is in Las Vegas?
I can definitely look that up.
I'm just curious. Those are questions that just from the testimony that we've gotten today raise a red flag for me. And so I'm just curious about the electricity, though. Why would we give them anything different if they're using the roads. The electricity bills are supposedly going up as we speak. So I'm just curious about that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. And I think, Barbara, that'll be part of a broader conversation. And ultimately, they may decide not to make an exception for EVs, but it'll be something that will be taken under advisement. Any other questions by members of the committee?
Yes, Madam Chair, I had a question. Vince Hennigman here.
Yes, Vince.
I'm just wondering if we should make these in the future automatically adjusted for inflation so that they keep going up. Some of our fees, I know, they kind of settle for several years and then they move up in a big adjustment. So it just seems like we, you know, should make them automatic so that they're consistent from year to year, I guess. Just a question for next time this is discussed.
Okay, thank you, Vince. I appreciate that.
Madam Chair, this is Alexis.
Hi, Alexis.
Hi. I agree with Vince. I know that it's tough to remember to bring this back to the board, so there's a way that it could be an auto situation, so staff don't have to put this on their calendar, and then if we have transition, just making sure that we don't miss this opportunity for revenues for TTD, as you know, that's so important to figure out how to ensure we get every dime to the TTD. So thank you.
Thank you. And I know that these fees, at least according to the information in our packet, haven't been adjusted since 2009. Is that correct?
Okay.
So the idea of an automatic adjustment is probably a good one. And I don't know for certain, but I don't think in response to Barbara's question about using an index that included Las Vegas, I don't know that there are any rental car agencies on the Nevada side of the lake. I think they're all centered in South Lake Tahoe. Isn't that correct?
We're actually kind of looking at what constitutes a rental vehicle establishment, because there's a place over here that's renting motorcycles and slingshots and things like that. So I don't know if we quite figured out whether that...
I think the general answer to your question is yes, absent some small.
There was one in Incline.
Okay.
But I think it's out of business now.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So a lot to consider at the next time we take a look at this. Any other comments by members of the committee before I move to public comment?
I did want to make one other comment. Yeah. This one, the rental car mitigation fee, actually also requires action by the TTT board as well as ours.
And they've already taken action.
Right. But if you want to turn it into an automatic, then I think maybe Carl would have to do something with his board as well.
Okay. All right. Understood.
Madam Chair, if I might,
yes.
Barbara Sikowski again.
Yes.
I would like the electricity one issue to be discussed whenever you're talking about this again. And I know this is my second to last meeting, so I just would like it put on and somebody to talk about that when you bring it up again. Thank you.
I think it's a matter of record now that that's a concern that you have. So I suspect that it will be part of the conversation when the idea of exempting or reducing the fee charge for electric vehicles is entertained. So thank you, Barbara. Appreciate it. We will now go to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen, or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Any member of the public? I don't see any public in the audience aside from Carl. Carl, did you have any comments to make on this item? Okay. All right. Maria, any members of the public online who wish to comment on this item?
Madam Chair, there are no hands raised to make public comment on this item.
Okay, thank you. Then we will close public comment. And I'll entertain a motion to recommend the Governing Board adopt Resolution 2022-, as contained in Attachment A, to increase the TRPA rental car mitigation fee by 25 cents to $5.75 per day per car.
Moved to approve, Madam Chair.
All right, we have a motion. Thank you. Maria, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Mrs. Sikowski?
Yes.
Ms. Diss?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson? Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Aldine?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
Thank you. That brings us to agenda item number 5, which is a recommendation to approve the release of $3.7 million in excess coverage mitigation funds to the California Tahoe Conservancy for a land bank acquisition. Information on this item can be found on page 99 of your packet. And is Jen online?
I am. Good morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning.
Well, I'll go ahead and kick off this agenda item. Jen Self for the record with TRPA Long Range Planning. We also have Kevin Pryor of the California Tahoe Conservancy on the line. Should you have any questions or want to talk about this item further with him? Today, the California Tahoe Conservancy is requesting a release of excess coverage mitigation funds for the potential purchase of the Motel 6 site and then a property adjacent to that for land bank purposes. In October last month, if you recall, Kevin and I presented an overview of the land bank and also the excess coverage mitigation program, as well as a little bit more of an in-depth overview of what this potential acquisition is. That's the subject of today's request. So today we're actually asking you to take action, and there would be a motion at the end of this, should you want to entertain that, to recommend approval to the TRPA Governing Board for the release of those funds. So today I'll just give a quick overview exactly what that request is before I turn it back over to you with any questions and for that action. Let's go to the next slide if we could. Thank you. So as we discussed in October last month, this request specifically is for the purchase and then also site stabilization of a 31-acre property in the city of South Lake Tahoe. It's centrally located within the city along Highway 50, and it does connect to larger public land acquisitions and restoration that's occurring in the upper Truckee. So the diagram there shows the patchwork of public lands that have been acquired already along the upper Truckee where restoration is occurring. And then the subject parcel is outlined in black there just for your reference. The site that subject of the request today currently contains the Motel 6, also a restaurant building that's been abandoned for a number of years and has a large asphalt parking lot. The entire site is within a prime stream environment zone and stream restoration area that's been identified in the regional plan and then also local plans such as the Tahoe Valley Area Plan, subject and targeted for restoration. Again, as we discussed in October, the project has the potential to make significant advancements in the regional plan performance measures and also a number of environmental thresholds. So there's a whole host of benefits that could come from this potential project, both from an environmental perspective and then also from the community benefits as well. The development rights associated with the property today would be acquired by the land bank as well, and those could be used in town center redevelopment, also housing development that our community desperately needs. As of September of this year, the current balance for the excess coverage mitigation funds on the California side are $3.7 million, a little bit over that amount. The funds today that are being requested is 3.7, so it'd leave a balance of roughly $32,000 in that funding source. The funds would be specifically used for the site acquisition and stabilization purposes, and then there's a percentage amount that could be used for administration to carry it through the stabilization and then also the transaction that's occurring now. The total cost of the acquisition of both of the properties would exceed the requested amount today. Other state funding sources are also being used for the acquisition. These include funding sources from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and California Wildlife Conservation Board, and a few others as well. It's important to note this acquisition is still not complete. So negotiations are ongoing, and releasing of these excess coverage mitigation funds would make the land bank competitive in their offers. If the funds are released from TRPA, they would be placed in an escrow account specifically for the use that we've talked about today, and then also as outlined in the packet that you have in front of you. The funds would be transferred after close, so they'd be held in that escrow account and they wouldn't be available until the actual close. And then all of the transactions and use of those funds would be recorded through invoicing and approved at staff level. The use of the funds, as outlined in the packet, is in conformance with a jointly adopted memorandum of understanding between the California Land Bank and TRPA. And in the event that the site purchase does not occur, it falls through, all of those funds would be transferred back to the Excess Coverage Mitigation Fund for future use. So that's a little bit of an overview and reminder kind of what we talked about in October. I'll now turn it over to the board for any questions before we go to the actual motion.
Thank you, Jen. That was very thorough. Any updates for us? I know that there are other parties interested in acquiring this site. Has any progress been made? I'm assuming that obviously we're not in escrow. The CTC is not in escrow. But is it likely that the offer being made by CTC will be accepted? Do you know?
It is my understanding that it's somewhat at the same place where the negotiations are still ongoing. There was an interested bidder. I'm looking to see if maybe Kevin Pryor is on the line, if he wants to provide an update. Maria or Tracy, could you help us with that? Oh, and I do see Kevin. Hi, yeah. Kevin. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Kevin Pryor, Director of Lands at the Tahoe Conservancy. Just to build on what Jen said, we are still in negotiations, and the status of those negotiations are ongoing and have not changed terribly much since the last time I presented to you last month. We are reviewing our appraisal and considering to make sure it's competitive with other potential offers on the site. So no real change there right now. We continue our due diligence and are looking at making sure our offer is competitive and within the appraised value of the site.
Okay, Kevin, thank you for that update. All right, any member of the committee wish to make any comments or ask any questions regarding this item? I don't see any or hear any. Seeing no hands raised and no voices raised, we will now move to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen, or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Maria, any member of the public wishing to comment on this item?
Madam Chair, there are no hands raised to make public comment on this item.
Okay, all right. And we do have a few additional people in the audience. Any member of the public in the audience wishing to comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, we will bring it back to the committee for action and close public comment. I don't know if the members of the committee who are with us virtually have the errata sheet, but assuming that they don't, there has been a modification to the proposed motion, so I will read that into the record. It's a motion to recommend approval to the TRPA Governing Board for the release to the California Tahoe Conservancy of $3,700,000 in excess coverage mitigation funds for acquisition and site stabilization of the 31-acre South Lake Tahoe Motel 6 site or any portions thereof, subject to the conditions contained in the TRPA-CTC Memorandum of Understanding. So is there a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion by Vince. Thank you, Vince. If there are any no comments, I'm not seeing any hands raised, so there are no comments on this item. Maria, will you please call the roll?
Mrs. Sagaski?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson? Ms. Diss?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Aldine?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
Great. Good luck, Kevin. Hopefully the next time you appear before us, you'll have the a transaction in escrow.
Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome. That brings us to agenda items number 6 through 13. We'll discuss these items as a single package and vote on them together. Information on can be found on pages 103 through 141. And Kira will be handling these. Good luck.
Good morning again, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Kira Smith, transportation planner with TRPA for the record. And I apologize that I am responsible for the majority of the staff reports in the packet this morning. So can you go to the next slide? So today, this morning, we'll be presenting on the Fiscal Year 23 Transportation Development Act funding allocations to the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency, Tahoe Transportation District, and Placer County for their transit service. So a little bit of background, the Transportation Development Act was established in California in 1971 as a funding source to support transit capital improvements and transit operations. The program is administered in California by regional transportation planning agencies, and TRPA is the regional transportation planning agency for the Lake Tahoe region. We allocate three different funding sources under the Transportation Development Act to the two operators in our region, the Tahoe Transportation District and the Tahoe Area Regional Transit. And we allocate those funds using a formula that takes into account the population of the operator service area, prior year ridership numbers, and prior year service provided by the different operators. Can you go to the next slide? So there are three different funding sources under the Transportation Development Act. The Local Transportation Fund, LTF, is derived from a 0.25-cent general sales tax generated locally and delivered back to the local county where it was generated. The State Transit Assistance is generated from a statewide sales tax on gasoline and split up among the different regional jurisdictions in the state. And then the last source, State of Good Repair, was developed in 2017 under SB1 and supports capital improvements for transit. And can you go to the next slide? So the two operators, TART and TTD, submit claim applications for these funds, and TRPA approves the claim applications and then recommends approval at the governing board, and then we will submit a letter to the state controller's office to release the funds. And the operator's claim applications are linked in your packet. They're online, and I can answer any questions about the fund sources, but this is kind of a look back at the last 5 years of TDA funds to the different operators. And today we're asking for approval of the allocation of fiscal year 23 TDA funds.
I just have a quick question because I'm new to all this. If we don't use these funds, they're still held in account that, and they could be used at a later date, because it looks like, you know, in 2021, things went way down and then they're going back up again. I'm just curious how it works, if you could describe that really quickly. Thanks.
Yeah, so we submit to the state controller's office a letter authorizing release of the funds to the transit operators, and then the operators receive the funds, and I don't think that they lapse at any point. They can be rolled over and carried over by the transit operator from year to year. That I think that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you.
If you're talking, we can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Thank you, Barbara, for that reminder. Okay. I know that we're going to be considering these, discussing these items as a package and voting on them together, but I'm concerned that people may lose track of what item we're discussing at any given moment. So I'm going to open this up to public comment. Any member of the public with us today in the room who wishes to come forward and make a comment, please do so now. Carol?
Good morning, Carl Hastie, District Manager of Tahoe Transportation District. I only want to make the comment that these are very important fund sources for us. They help us leverage the federal dollars and provide a match source to those federal dollars. So we're very appreciative of what the state of California provides here in terms of returning some of this to the communities from sales tax revenues. And so we ask for your support. Thank you.
Okay. And I presume you're supportive of all the other items on the agenda as well. They're all transportation related.
I am trying to economize as well. So okay. The answer is yes.
All right. Thank you. All right. Maria, anyone online wishing to comment on this item?
Madam Chair, there are no hands raised.
Okay. Thank you. And we'll move on to the next item, item number 7.
Yeah. Well, these are all packaged together. So I don't have anything else on items 6 through 13.
Okay. All right. So, well, then what I'd like to do, I'm going to, just for efficiency's sake, I will read the motions. And then if anybody wishes to comment, I just want to make sure that anybody who has an issue or a comment regarding any of these items be given a chance to get their comments on the record. So the first item, item number 6, is a motion to recommend approval of the FY 2022-23 State of Good Repair Project List for the Tahoe-Truckee Area Regional Transit, that's TART, and Tahoe Transportation District, TTD. Item number 7 is a recommendation to approve the FY 2022-23 local transportation funds of $75,000 to the Tahoe Regional Planning Agency for the administration and planning of the Transportation Development Act. Item number 8 is a recommendation for the allocation of FY 2022-23 local transportation funds in the estimated amount of $1,695,153 to the Tahoe Transportation District. And I just violated my own rule. If anybody in the audience or anyone online would like to make a comment on the two items that I've just read into the record, please let us know. Maria, anyone online?
Not at this time, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Item number 9 is a recommendation to approve the allocation of FY 2022-23 State Transit Assistance Funds in the estimated amount of $757,084 to the Tahoe Transportation District. Any member of the audience or any member on Zoom wishing to comment on this item, please do so now.
Nothing online, Madam Chair.
I'm sorry?
There's no one online.
Okay, thank you. Item number 10 is a recommendation to approve the allocation of FY 2022-23 State of Good Repair funds in the estimated amount of $95,555 plus interest earned to the Tahoe Transportation District for a preventative maintenance project. Any comments on this item?
No one online.
All right, thank you. Move on to item number 11, which is a recommendation to approve the allocation of FY 2022-23 local transportation funds in the estimated amount of $939,480 to the Tahoe-Truckee Area Regional Transit System, otherwise known as TART. Any comments from members of the audience?
There's no one online.
Okay, thank you. Item number 12 is a recommendation to approve the allocation of FY 2022-23 State Transit Assistance Funds in the estimated amount of $638,810 to the Tahoe-Truckee Area Regional Transit System, again, TART. Any comments by members of the audience or any public online?
No public comment online.
Okay, and Last but not least, a recommendation to approve the allocation of FY 2022-23 State of Good Repair Funds in the estimated amount of $80,627 plus interest to the Tahoe-Truckee Area Regional Transit System for preventative maintenance and the purchase of two transit buses. Any members of the public wishing to comment on this item?
Madam Chair, there's no one online.
Okay, then we will close public comment. And is there a motion to approve these items as read into the record?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you. A motion. Mario, will you please call the roll?
Mrs. Sagaski?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson? Ms. Diss?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Kira. That brings us to agenda item number 14, a recommendation to approve amendment number one of the FY 2022-23 Lake Tahoe Transportation Overall Work Program. Information on this item can be found on page 209 of your packet.
Yes, good morning, Madam Chair. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. Michelle Glickert, Transportation Planning Program Manager. Today, I am seeking recommendation of approval for amendment number one to the Tahoe Transportation Planning Overall Work Program. The tasks and budget outlined in the Transportation Planning Work Program are prepared annually. The Transportation Program tasks are folded into the TRPA Operations Work Plan that Chief Operating Officer John Hester prepares and reviews with you annually. However, as the TMPO, the Tahoe Metropolitan Planning Organization, as a recipient of federal funds, we must formally amend the Transportation Planning Overall Work Program from time to time throughout the fiscal year via resolution from this board. Preparation of the Transportation Work Program actually starts around February for May approval. This means that many of the revenue sources must be estimated based on anticipated work to be completed by the fiscal year's end. This is identified as our carryover funding. Once the fiscal year is closed, we then receive our final budget, usually about September. Then we must amend those funds back into our overall work program budget. Next slide. So this amendment is addressing that typical annual reconciliation of carryover funds and final grant revenues. This slide details the breakout of the $233,464,000 being programmed back into the budget. Budget changes are going to include $25,000 in Work Element 102, that's the TDA administration for the triennial audit that we are required to complete, and Work Element 104, regional intermodal planning, the largest budget and work element, includes a lot of our planning efforts, like the equity study you heard about a few months back. We'll also be updating the active transportation plan and safety strategy. So those funds are being folded into Work Element 104 to support that work. Work Element 105, transportation data management and forecasting. These funds will support data requests and recommendations coming out of the Performance Technical Advisory Committee and general data updates in preparation for the next regional transportation plan, like obtaining better safety data. That's a big focus for us this year. Work Element 108, the last of the changes, regional intermodal planning. This element's focused on regional funding, the addition in carryover funds, and a small increase of about 900 currently supporting partner and public outreach coordination activities and studies to advance the 7-7 funding strategy. So the changes will not impact any of our existing contracts, staff budgets, or priority activities. Next slide. So that is a summary of the amendment that we are seeking your approval for. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Any questions by members of the committee on this item? Seeing no hands raised, I will conclude that there are no comments or questions, in which case we will move to public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen, or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Maria, any member of the public wishing to comment on this item?
Madam Chair, there are no hands raised to make public comment.
Okay. Any member of the audience wishing to comment on this item? Seeing no one dashing to the podium, we'll assume that no one wishes to comment, so we'll close public comment. And if there are no last-minute comments by the committee, I will entertain a motion to recommend the Governing Board adopt the attached resolution approving Amendment Number 1 of the FY 2023 TMPO Overall Work Program as shown in Attachment A.
So moved.
Thank you, Vince. We have a motion. Mario, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Mrs. Sagaski?
Yes.
Ms. Diss?
She's not.
Yes. Sorry.
Thanks, Jessica.
Ms. Gustafson? Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right. That brings us to agenda item number 15. Apologize. This is kind of a marathon meeting this morning. A recommendation to authorize the executive director to submit an application to the California Department of Housing and Community Development for the MPO allocation of regional early action planning, so-called REAP funds, information found on page 217 of your packet. Karen, good morning.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the Operations Committee. I'm here today to request the Governing Board's authorization to submit a full application to the State of California's REAP 2.0 MPO allocation. And these are formula funds for our region. We were here in September requesting authorization to apply for the advance for these funds. And now we're here requesting authorization to apply for the balance of the remaining funds, which is just over $567,000. And the REAP program seeks to accelerate regional housing goals and climate commitments. And TRPA, as the MPO for the region, plans to use the funds to advance the priorities of the Tahoe Living, Housing, and Community Revitalization Working Group. And then we also just want to let you know that there's another grant opportunity under the REAP 2.0 program, a competitive opportunity called the Higher Impact Transformative Grant. And those applications can be for between $1 million and $10 million. And we are currently working with our partners to draft an application to that program as well. And so we'll be coming back to you in December, most likely before the deadline, to again request authorization to specifically apply for that program as well.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. Very succinct. I was just wondering, we had a cash advance allocation from these funds in roughly the amount of $37,000 in 2022, this year, earlier, that was on October 17th, to pay for time to develop the full application. So I'm assuming that amount will cover any additional staff time required from an administrative standpoint to work through the process.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Welcome, Alexis. Nice to see you here in person. All right. So any member of the committee have any comments they'd like to make or questions they'd like to ask regarding this item? Let's start with Alexis first. Alexis?
No questions. Just great work.
Okay. Yes. Any member who's visiting with us remotely have any questions regarding this item? Okay. Seeing none, no hands raised, and no one wishing to speak. We will now go to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Any member of the public with us today wishing to comment on this item, please come forward. Okay, seeing none, Maria, any member joining us remotely?
Madam Chair, there are no hands raised for this item.
Okay, thank you. In that case, we will close public comment and bring this back to the committee for action. The motion would be to recommend the Governing Board adopt the attached resolution authorizing the Executive Director to submit a request for funds to the California Department of Housing and Community Development as shown in Attachment A. Is there a motion?
Yes, move to approve as stated.
Alexis, we have a motion. Mari, will you please call the roll?
Mrs. Sagaski?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson? Ms. Diss?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
Okay, thank you everyone for being so tolerant. As I say, there were a lot of items that needed to be considered. Well, everyone did a great job, thank you. That brings us to agenda item number 16, Principal Financial Group Investment Review. This is an information only item with no committee action. Chris, would you like to introduce our guest?
Sure. For the record, Chris Kyler, the finance director. Before I introduce our guest, let me just briefly outline for you. We do have substantial amounts of cash on hand, the majority of which we're holding for other people. So it's not really available for TRPA purposes. And I'm talking there about mitigation funds that we're holding waiting for a project like the project we discussed earlier today, and project securities, almost $5 million there, which will eventually be returned to the project applicants. And in addition, then we get our state monies at the beginning of the year, so we usually start off the year pretty flush with cash and then spend it down over the course of the year. So what we've done with this money is we've kind of broken it up into three pieces. Working capital portion really is invested in the LAIF program run by the California Treasurer. And so we'll deposit the money there when we get to the beginning of the year, and then we'll draw down on it as we go through the year. We also have a small amount of money invested with the LGIP program in Nevada, which runs similar to LAIF. And we'd use that for the same general purposes, although we haven't had a lot of transactions there. It's a lot more convenient to use a LAIF for the working capital stuff. And then we have this group, this pool, which runs about $12 million. We haven't actually done any drawdowns on it since I've been with the agency. So I don't know how it got set or anything, but it sits there. The mitigation funds and the securities tend to be fairly stable in terms of inflows and outflows. So we've never really had to pull any money out of this pool. Originally, it was with Wells Fargo Institutional Investors. Wells Fargo has had some issues in recent years, and they sold this piece of the business and Bruce off to the principal group. So,
are you chattel now, Bruce? Good chattel. Okay.
So we now have a principal group account, and Bruce is here to do an annual presentation to the board and some of his stuff. So I'd like to introduce Bruce Remington with the principal group.
Welcome, Bruce.
Thank you. It's good to be back. I'm going to start on page 4 in the review book, and I think Chris has shortened these up. So that'll get to the print. A lot of stuff I have to put in for compliance reasons, and so those are in the hard copies and the original electronic version. But for simplicity's sake, I'll talk about, well, you know, kind of what's going on in the market and that sort of thing. We're definitely in a synchronized global economic downturn, as the first bullet point on page 4 points out. And really, we're in a pretty nasty economic situation worldwide, primarily as a result of the COVID issues. And just as we started to come out of COVID, then we ended up with the Ukrainian fiasco. President Putin decided he wanted to annex his neighbors. So that's, you know, really put us back into a tailspin. The big issue that's hit us in terms of economic downturn are the severe impact on energy prices that the disruption of Russian gas, Russian coal. I think people are focusing on gas and oil, but the truth is a significant amount of the coal that's consumed in Western Europe comes from Russia, and that's been disrupted as well. So the truth of the matter is we're in better shape economically in the U.S. than most of the world. UK's in recession. Most of Western Europe, if they're not there, they're headed there. Our own internal forecast is that we will go into recession in the second quarter of 2023. Now, if you look at the textbook definition of a recession, we've already been in one. We were down first quarter and second quarter of 2022 at negative GDP growth, and that's the textbook definition, two consecutive quarters. We actually had positive GDP in the third quarter, although if you disaggregate that, it was mostly exports and government spending. So it's still a pretty soft economy. Big thing that's hitting most people, and I noticed earlier you had an inflation adjustment for rental cars. Inflation is a worldwide problem, contrary to what we just heard in the elections, and thank God the elections are over. It is not Mr. Biden's inflation. It is a worldwide issue. Again, disruption of energy prices, other raw materials, foodstuffs, et cetera. So we're actually in a little better shape in the U.S. inflation-wise than we are in the rest of the world. The result is the fear of inflation has central banks, not only in the United States, our Federal Reserve, but central banks worldwide trying to choke off inflation. And unfortunately, the way you choke off inflation is to raise rates, and in some cases it damages the labor markets, most likely will. Inflation right now has eased off a little bit. It's only growing at a 7.5% rate instead of an 8% rate, but that's pretty significant. For those of us old enough to remember 78 to 82, we had much higher inflation. At that point, we had a very, very capable Federal Reserve Chairman, Paul Volcker, and he choked off the economy pretty significantly by aggressively raising rates. I hate to use this analogy, but it's probably the best one I have out there. It's kind of like taking chemotherapy. Chemotherapy is just deadly on the individual, yet without it, you don't survive. We're really going through kind of a financial chemo right now, but that's the best way to keep inflation from getting out of hand. If anything, our Federal Reserve personnel have learned over the last 40, 50, 80 years is that if you make a half-hearted attempt to choke off inflation, it usually doesn't work, and then inflation gets worse, and the difficulty to finally choke it off is much more severe. So we think the Fed will continue to be aggressive. We've now had four consecutive rate increases, and this directly hits the portfolio. We've had four successive rate increases of 0.75% each time. We think we're probably going to see a fifth rate increase at the December Fed meeting, but the Fed's kind of indicating they may back that off to 0.5%. They don't want to get overly aggressive and throw us into a deep recession, but they definitely need to continue to work on inflation. Most people, when you look at what's happened in the market, you're focusing on equity investments. And particularly if you're looking at your 401k balance and the funds in there, this has been an incredibly ugly market. S&P, most of the other indexes down 20 to 25 to 30%. Been a very difficult market. This is one of those funky markets, though, where there's been no place to hide. Fixed income got hurt very severely as well. With the Fed raising rates and the curve actually went inverted, short bond yields are higher right now than longer bond yields, made for a pretty severe impact on fixed income markets as well. The aggregate bond index is down about 14.5%. It's recovered a few tenths of a percent since the end of September, but a pretty difficult market. So that's the kind of the market we're working in. The next page shows equity indexes. And since we don't have any equity securities in this, I'm not going to go through this in any kind of detail other than just point out, if you look at that year-to-date and 3-month number and the 1-year number, lots of negative numbers there, really no place to hide. As I mentioned, the Bloomberg Aggregate Bond Index down about 14.6%, high yields down 14.7%, long governments down 28.94%. In fact, the second quarter of 2022 was the worst market for U.S. Treasury bonds since 1789. You have to go back to shortly after the Revolution to see such an ugly market in Treasury bonds. We only have to go back 100 years to see such a bad market in corporates, if that's any compensation. Yeah,
I'm assuming, Bruce, that was because of the debt that was incurred by the United States.
Big pardon?
Wasn't that because of the debt that was incurred?
Yeah,
as a result of the Revolutionary War?
Big piece of that was the reaction of the investing public in selling off bonds as they saw one program after another. I think at first, most of it was the spending to counteract COVID, multiple unemployment programs that there was no money to pay for them other than increased national debt. I don't think, from what we've seen, the effect of government spending to finance weapons to Ukraine have been nearly as severe as the government programs during the COVID incident. The other thing that has hit short-term bonds is more of a fear premium over energy prices and that sort of thing. So there's plenty of blame to go around, but the fact is it's a scared market, rising interest rates, softening economy, probably going to get worse before it gets better. That's our forecast. So it's had a pretty severe impact. In fact, on the following page, page 7, and this really hits the portfolio in particular, looking at where interest rates have gone over the last couple of years. Two-year treasuries on September 30th, 2019. Now think back, the start of the shutdown from COVID was late March, early April of 2019. And I can tell you the specific date when it hit me. I was working at our Portland bank on Friday the 13th, March night of 2019. And my boss called me up and said, get on the plane and go home. We're bringing everybody in. We're shutting everything down. And I said, well, sorry, I can't do that today. The last plane from Portland's gone. I'm booked on the 5 a.m. flight tomorrow morning. Fine. Don't travel again until you hear from me. I never heard from him again because he retired. Fortunately, his replacements got me back out on the road seeing clients. But what we can see from September 30th, so at this point, you're 6 months into the Fed easing and the Treasury accommodating that and Congress flooding the world with money, particularly the U.S. So look at where interest rates were. Two-year at 162, the five-year at 154, and the 10-year Treasury yielding 1.66%, and a very flat curve. The 210 spread was only 4 basis points. By September 30th of 2020, now we're into the full COVID process. Again, COVID started in 2020. I'm sorry, I misstated 19. So by September 30th of 2020, now we've got 6 months of aggressive government intervention. Two-year Treasury bonds are down to 13 basis points. The 10-year is at 0.68%. You know, again, we haven't seen rates that low in years. By September 2021, the economy was starting to recover. Interest rates started meandering back up. The 10-year was at 149. The two-year at 28 basis points, the 210 spread, or the shape of the curve, was 121 basis points. So that was a normal economic recovery from the short, severe recession we had in early 2020, particularly in the second quarter because of COVID. So everything's looking peachy. Then in January and February, we had the Ukrainian war start, and you can see the impact that that has had. As of September 30th, those two-year Treasury bonds in right in 2 years have gone from 13 basis points to 428 basis points, 4.2%. The 10-year has gone up to 383. Earlier this month, it was at 402. It's now back down to about 385, but a pretty severe run-up in rates across the board. That had very severe impact on bonds in general. And you can see that the 210 spread, the shape of the curve, is now a negative 45 basis points. We have an inverted yield curve. We have never had a recession without having an inverted curve. Contrary to that, though, we have had an inverted curve without a recession. But we think this inverted curve right now is signaling that we are still not out of the woods economically. Inflation may not be growing at as fast a clip, but nobody likes 7% inflation when they're spoiled that we've been having 1.5 to below 2. Let's turn at this point to page 9, take a quick look at the cash flow. Just take a second on this page. The 3 months, we started at $11,812,158. No contributions. Year-to-date, negative contributions of $7,400. That's our management fee. And gains and losses year-to-date are $104,000. We did get a little bit of a bounce back in October, and so far in November, the account now is at $11,787,963 as of Friday. Let's go to page 12, which should be the next page. This is the fun part of coming to see a client in this type of environment. However, we run short, high-quality bonds, and compared to the market as a whole, we are in really good shape. The total performance for the quarter, we're down 0.05. Year to date, we're down 0.94%, and that's net of all trading expenses, management costs, custody, and the cost for me to run the fund. Our benchmark, which is a mix of 5% cash and 95% Bloomberg 1 to 5 year government credit bond index, A rated or better, so we don't allow junk bonds in the portfolio. That benchmark was down 363. And if you look at the aggregate bond index, it was down 1461. So what we've had is a mix of very short, high quality bonds giving us a good coupon. And when this whole bloodbath started in the bond market, we were positioned about as good as we possibly could have been. And a lot of that is me working with Chris. You know, what are you looking at in terms of any cash payouts? We tend to hold the bonds through maturity instead of selling them when they get to 1 year maturity, which is what the benchmark does. We hold the bonds through maturity. If I have a good quality coupon and a solid credit, there's no reason to bail on it just because it comes out of the index. That has hurt us for a few years. But now that the market's kind of got on its head, it's paid off in spades. If I look at the 1 year number, we're down 117 net. The benchmark is down 363. We've outperformed by 245 basis points or 2.45%. Even on a 3 year basis, we have a positive return, outperformed the benchmark. When we looked at this portfolio 1 year ago, our last meeting, we were lagging on the 1 to 3 year range. We've now caught up with that. We're even caught up now compared to last year at 5 years. So a very, very conservative approach to this has really paid off. And when I look at this account, it's kind of like rule one, don't lose money. Rule two, don't forget rule one. Rule three, do the best you can without ignoring rules one and two. And that's really where we are right now. And I do have updated performance as of October 31st. For the quarter, we were up 0.07%, not much. But the market was negative by 0.1%. So year to date, we're now down 0.87. The benchmark is down 3.73. So how did I do that? Let's go to page 17. And I've left the books behind for you with a lot of detail, but I want to hit the high points here. How are we currently structured? Two different graphs on this page. Left-hand side. Our yield on the portfolio, that is what we're getting based on the coupon, is 376. The benchmark is 440. So at initial look, you think, well, we're not getting as much yield. The big thing is the third one down, option adjusted duration. We're significantly short relative to the benchmark. So when we saw that yield curve go inverted with the most damage in the 2 to 5 year range, the vast majority of our bonds were shorter than that. And we didn't get hurt. Credit quality, AA plus matches the benchmark. We're allowed to buy single A rated bonds, nothing below that. We are allowed to hold triple B bonds if they've been downgraded. And in our opinion, the quality is such that we're not going to default. And you remember last year we had some Oracle, and I think several years ago we had a Best Buy bond that had been downgraded. We held those matured and paid in full. The quality distribution on the right-hand side of this page in terms of triple A's, single A's, and double A's in between, we're fairly close to the benchmark. The benchmark is really dominated by Treasury and agency bonds. The bulk of the bonds we have in this portfolio are Treasury and agency. Next page gives you an idea of sector breakdown. Right now, I do not have any U.S. agency bonds, Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, or any of those, and those are backed by the federal government. But right now, the yield pickup on agency paper is 2 or 3 basis points, but you don't have as much liquidity. To me, I'm not going to sacrifice liquidity to pick up 0.02%. In the old days, really up until about 2005, you could pick up an extra 0.5% to 0.75% buying agency paper. Once the federal government seized Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae when they had all their problems in the 2008 mortgage meltdown, once the federal government grabbed them, that spread narrowed to 3 to 5 basis points. Not worth the risk for the lack of liquidity. We're slightly, very slightly overweighted relative to the benchmark in investment-grade corporates, very slightly underweighted in treasuries. I've been able to pick up a little bit of yield there. In terms of sector breakdown, we really are underweighted relative to the benchmark on the right-hand side in investment-grade corporates. other than that, you know, we're pretty much in line. Maturity breakdown, this is where we've really been able to save the portfolio on page 19. We have held the bonds as they mature. And again, I touch base with Chris frequently on this. We're about 80% in the short end, 1 year or less. The 1 to 5 year significantly underweighted relative to the benchmark. Now, what I am doing now that we've got a big run-up in these short rates is I'm starting to lengthen the maturities. I'll start buying 2 and 3 year bonds because I got a big fat coupon on them. Now would be the time to buy them, not a year ago when we saw rates rising, the curve starting to invert. So a duration shows up on the other page. Last two pages on pages 20 and 21, unless there are any specific questions, these are just a list of all the bonds that we have. You notice compared to last year, we have lower exposure to corporates, a higher exposure to treasuries. The last of our agency paper has matured and been rolled into treasuries. So we've got a pretty bomb-proof portfolio here. The coupon's significantly higher. I will bring your attention to one thing in the lower right-hand corner, by the way, on page 20, and it shows OA, or option-adjusted yield to worst, and option-adjusted duration. People see that yield to worst and panic. That is what would happen if some of the bonds were called that might reduce our return. The worst scenario right now, if bonds are called, would be a 376 option-adjusted yield. So we're in really good shape. This is always kind of a fun meeting to have. You've been so safe and so careful for so long, and people start to wonder, gee, should we be taking a little bit more risk? And this rears up and bites everyone in the tail, and we're in really good shape. So the money's there. The money's safe. Invested in high-quality securities. If we go into a recession and we see interest rates come down, you probably get some capital gain out of this, not a lot. But if we see bond rates continue to rise, we may shift the portfolio into higher paying coupon, because eventually, as the inflation genie gets put back in the bottle and rates start to fall, you're going to want to hold those high coupon bonds in a falling rate environment. Exactly that approach was what worked the best 80 to 82 when we had very high real rates, 4%. Above the rate of inflation. And if you bought good quality high coupon bonds then and held them, you were in the catbird seat from 82 to really about 2019 was the greatest bull market in the history of bonds. The fact that we stay short, we're not going to be able to take advantage of that. I can't buy 30-year bonds and then ride those for 30 years with a fat coupon. We need to keep this money short and liquid. But we've done that. So we're in really good shape.
Well, that's good news. Thank you. Bruce, appreciate that. Yes, Chris.
Let me jump in on a couple of points. Yeah.
Yes.
One is the investment policy, which of course Bruce has a copy of that, is modeled after the two states, and that does cap us at about 5 years for that. And the other comment I'd made, I mentioned earlier that a lot of this money is really mitigation funds. And we pay interest into the mitigation funds, so the interest on that investment goes to the user, the end user, the local jurisdiction that draws down on it. That's one of the reasons why we very much don't want to lose money on the pool, because they don't like going to the counties and saying, oh, your mitigation fund just dropped in value because of the negative interest. So
quick question for you. I mean, obviously we're heavy in bonds, but the corporate investments we have, we're very heavily invested in banks. And don't bank stocks typically, aren't they pretty sensitive to interest rate fluctuations? Do I need to speak up?
Yeah, the bank stocks are sensitive to interest rate, and the initial impact on a bank stock or a bank bond for that matter, with a pop in interest rates, your gut feeling is that would be negative. But remember, the job that banks have is lending money at a higher rate than what they borrow it. So for banks to be able to go out and issue bonds at a 3% coupon and then lend that money out at 5 or 6% in terms of a mortgage or a corporate loan or something like that, they pick up on the spread. And the problem that banks have been having for the last 5 years is with interest rates below, inflation below 2%, Treasury bonds yielding 1-1.5%. There's no flexibility for them to pick up any kind of spread. So they're actually doing okay. The other thing is your comment on bank stocks is correct. We own the bank bonds. Mm-hmm. And there we have a fixed maturity, which in this case is very short. We have a fixed coupon, so they're going to pay us the interest rate. It's not unlike us paying on the car loan. The car is there as collateral. I have to pay the principal and interest on the automobile until such time as the loan expires. And then what does the bank do? They right away turn around and lend on another car. And in this environment, they're charging a higher rate for the car loan.
Right.
So okay. That's why we own the bonds. And we cannot own equities in this account anyway. But and also banks are 51-52% of the short-term bond index. So our representation of bank debt, bank bonds in this portfolio is reflective of the market. So I haven't made a bet on overloading or underweighting anything. I've stayed pretty much neutral.
Okay, great. Thank you, Bruce. Any questions by members of the committee versus presentation? I don't see any from Alexis. Any hands raised on my screen? No? No hands raised? All right. In that case, we will move now to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone. And you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Any member of the public in the audience wishing to comment on this item? Seeing no one dashing to the podium, anyone wishing to comment on Zoom?
Madam Chair, there are no hands raised.
Okay, Bruce, you've gotten a pass. All right. No probing questions.
Thank you.
Thank you for all that you do. We appreciate our relationship with you over the years, and I know that you and Chris have a very close working relationship.
And thank you. And the shift to principal's been great for both the employees, those of us that do this, and also from our customers. With Wells, this was really an ancillary part of the business. And with principal, it's a huge part of our business. Mm-hmm. And they're great people. So we've all really been happy with the move. And it's also taken that regulatory cloud off our shoulders.
Right.
So we love working with
Excellent.
You. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right. So this was obviously an informational item only, which brings us up to agenda item number 17, upcoming topics. Chris.
Okay. Thank you. Just one thing, though. It just seems weird to be thanking your investment advisor when you have a negative return, but compared to the index, we're doing really well.
Everything is comparative. Yeah,
right? Everything is comparative. Okay. This is doing much better than my 401k.
Exactly right. Thanks, Bruce.
Okay, just some quick future topics. We're still on track to doing the audit in December. I'm a little nervous about it because it's getting down to the final little pieces, and there's a lot of nagging little stuff. But we don't have a major showstopper like we did last year with the implementation of GASB 84. So we think we're still on track to bringing you the audit in December. If it has to change, it has to change, but that should be doable. No major issues that have been identified yet at this point, so we're not anticipating anything surprising in that.
All of the improvements to the building have been completed?
We have not been able to get anywhere on the retaining walls. So the roof is done. Lobby
carpet.
Reconstruction, all that is
mostly
done. Carpet and chairs. Yeah, we have a little more work to do, just odds and ends.
Mm-hmm.
But we're mostly through there. The one problem has been the retaining wall, and it looks like it's going to cost us a lot more than we thought it was. We were going for a cheap solution of just restacking the rocks, and the engineer is like, well, your wall's too high to do that, so we're going to have to do something different. So we're circling the wagons. Our new executive director has a big decision coming to her.
We were talking about metal pylons or something. What do you?
Probably the spray-on concrete thing they do on the highway.
Oh.
I know, it's ugly.
Until it starts failing.
But the other option would be, a very, very expensive block retaining wall that would probably run over $1 million.
Oh.
So,
to be continued.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Okay, Chris, any questions for Chris on these upcoming agenda items?
Yes, Madam Chair. I was wondering, is there any opportunity for us to look at the rent that we charge TTD and just see if there's any availability for flexibility on that charge for a future agenda item and discuss that holistically?
I'm trying to remember now exactly the structure. We don't actually have a technical lease with TTD. I think what we have been doing is we have a separate building fund. So TRPA pays rent to ourselves. I think we're basically using the same rate. And then there's additional surcharge on there for some shared expenses, most of which they've agreed to pay a portion of. For example, he contributes to our transportation lobbyist and things like that, so that we wash through as part of the rent and stuff like that. So I wouldn't say there's really much of an opportunity there, but I suppose we could look at that.
Or, you know, maybe we could just chat offline and look at it. I don't know a ton about it, so it would be good.
It's actually been pretty stable because we haven't changed anything for at least 4 or 5 years with the
Chris, if we have the latitude in December, you know, I'm not familiar with the arrangement with TTD, and I suspect many of our committee members are not familiar with it. So maybe we should just bring it back as an informational item.
Okay. We can do that.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Okay, anything else under upcoming topics? Okay.
The mitigation fee restructuring, when we look at that as part of a larger package of Arlo's process improvement stuff, and we're looking at that bigger package of the improvement process and saying that really feels more like an RPIC item rather than an Ops Committee item. So we'll probably do that in RPIC rather than the Ops Committee.
Oh, good. All right. Fewer agenda items for Ops. All right. I like the trend. Okay. So any other member of the committee wishing to add an agenda item, future agenda item? Seeing none, we will now go to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Any member of the public with us today in the room wishing to comment? All right, seeing none. Maria, anyone joining us by Zoom?
Madam Chair, there are no hands raised for public comment.
Okay, thank you. Then we will close public comment and move on to item 18, committee member comments. Any member of the committee have any further comments to make?
Madam Chair, I do. This is Barbara Sagaski.
Yes, hi, Barbara.
Hi. I just wanted to thank the staff for their work and on the agenda and the materials. On behalf of Scott Anderson and I, my chief of staff, we really appreciate them being on top of it and getting back to us with any questions that we have. It makes it really easy. So thank you very much to the staff.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we don't mention our, you know, staff frequently enough. And we obviously they are the brick and mortar that kind of holds the wall together here at TRPA. So thank you for that comment, Barbara. All right. Seeing no hands raised, we will move on then to our last public interest comment period. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee at this time, please raise your hand now, either in person by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Any final comments by anyone joining us here in person? Seeing none, any comments by anyone joining us on Zoom?
Madam Chair, there are no hands raised for public comment.
Okay, thank you. Then we will close public comment. And is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right, yes. We have a motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, anyone opposed? All right, seeing none, we are adjourned, and the Forest Health and Wildfire Committee will proceed in how many minutes? Immediately? Immediately in this room and on this platform. Thank you, everyone.